Morning, brothers and sisters, and children, little children that haven't left yet, you are dismissed to Children's Church. Welcome to you on Facebook Live this morning also. We're glad that you could be with us. We're going to jump right into Scripture. As Casey said, at the end of our service today, we're going to have a video presentation on some of the seniors. Some of our seniors are here. We're going to recognize them. We're going to pray over them. I do want to say this before we get to that part in a little while. There are a lot of different students that have been part of us over the years. Some of those you will see featured in the little handout that's been made. Some of those aren't featured in there, but that doesn't take away from they used to be part of us. There's also people graduating, our students graduating from a post-secondary, so we just want to pray for them today, and we will do that at the close of the service. And so, I'm going to ask you to turn to Amos chapter 4, and I know that if you've been around here any amount of time, you've heard me refer to Amos chapter 4 before. But I want to invite you to bear with me again this morning as I refer to them, these verses in Amos chapter 4, and compare that with some new statistics that I have read just recently, and then bring that all together with the point, as I made a couple of times in the past month or so already, we don't get to go to heaven on our terms. So, that's what we're going to talk about again a little bit today. Amos chapter 4, picking it up at verse 6. Most of you are aware of this minor prophet's word from God to Israel. This is a word to the northern tribes. This is about 750 BC. The northern tribes are struggling with some things. And God has sent Isaiah. We all know the book of Isaiah. He also uses minor prophets like Amos to give them a word from God. And so that is what we have here. I was reading through some commentary this week as I read Amos chapter 4 again, and one commentator wrote this about this time frame in Israel's history, and listen to what this commentator said and see if there are any parallels. He said, and I quote, "As prosperity increased, so did Israel's religious and moral corruption." And so that's where they were at. That's where these verses come from. Here we go. Amos chapter 4, verse 6, he said, this is the word of God through Amos to the 10 tribes, the northern kingdom. "I gave you empty stomachs in every city and lack of bread in every town, yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord." For those of you that might be watching online or are sitting with us today, and these verses are new to you, what God is saying to you, "I caused drought and famine and lack of food in your life so that you would turn to me." That's what he's saying. "And yet you have not returned to me." He goes on. "I also withheld the rain from you when the harvest was still 3 months away. I sent rain on one town, but withheld it from another." This is God speaking through Amos to his people. People staggered from town to town for water, but did not get enough to drink. "Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord." "Many times I struck your gardens and your vineyards, destroying them with blight and mildew. Locusts devoured your fig and olive trees, yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I sent plagues among you as I did to Egypt. I killed your young men with the sword, along with your captured horses. I filled your nostrils with the stench of your camps, yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I overthrew some of you as I overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. You were like a burning stick snatched from the fire, yet you have not returned to me. Most of you know these verses. You've heard me refer to them. You've probably read them yourselves. But these verses are a reminder of God's willingness to be patient in our sin. And God's willingness to be patient in our sin, to send us opportunities to repent of sin and turn back to Him. That's what this is about. Sometimes that's painful. When you look at what he said here, sometimes that's painful in our lives, trying to get our attention to come back to God. That's what these verses are about. You say, okay, Jim, what's the point? What's that got to do with we don't get to go to heaven on our terms? Stay with me. I'll bring it all together. 1 month ago, there was an article in the Christian Post, dated April 24th. Kristen, pop that up there, that first one for me, will you? And the title was that. Look at the title. This was just 1 month ago. Less than half of born-again Christians believe Jesus lived sinless life on earth, the study says. Let's just absorb that for a minute. Less than half of said born-again believers in America believe Jesus lived a sinless life on earth. That got my attention. And so I read the article, and that next part that you see there on the screen was in the article. Here's what it said. Since the COVID-19 pandemic began in 2020, fewer born-again Christians now say that Jesus lived a sinless life during his time on earth. And church attendance has dropped by some 15 million people weekly, a new study from the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University shows. Excuse me. The study shows that between 2020 and 2023, the share of those who say they believe Jesus did not commit sins during his lifetime on earth fell from 58 to 44%, end quote. Are you seeing what it said, friends? Now, I'm not here to suggest that God sent COVID-19 to America to wake us up, nor am I suggesting he didn't. But I am saying that things like that have happened before. Did you remember what he said in verse 10? I sent plagues among you as I did to Egypt. I did that. I killed your young people. I filled your nostrils with the stench of your camps, and still you have not returned to me, said the Lord. So I shall say it again. I am not suggesting God did send or did not send COVID, but these kinds of things have happened before to wake us up and get us to come back to God. They've happened before. So I'm thinking, I read this article, and I'm thinking, what in the world should a pandemic have to do with people stopping going to church? You say, well, Jim, we were told we couldn't go to church. The article isn't talking about then. It's talking about now. There's 15 million not going now, 3 years after it started. And I'm asking myself, what in the world should that have to do with people no longer going to church? And then I'm really asking, what in the world does COVID-19 have to do with less people today than 3 years ago when it started, believe that Jesus lived a sinless life like the Bible says? What has COVID got to do with that? And yet that's the reality of what's happened. We don't get to go to heaven on our terms. I don't get to get pick and choose from the Word of God what I like and what I don't like. If we think, people of God, listen to me for a second. If we think, like apparently a whole bunch of so-called born-again believers are thinking today, that Jesus had sin in his life, we're doing things on our terms, and we don't get to be part of heaven on our terms. This study blows my mind. I could understand if the study was people that are unchurched, don't care, don't believe, whatever. This is a study of people who said, I have been born again. And during the 3 years of COVID, this study shows that between 2020 and 23, the share of those who say that believe Jesus did not commit sins during his lifetime on earth fell from 58% to 44%. Less than half of people who say, I am born of God, believe that Jesus was sinless. Hello? So what we're saying is some dude with sin died for my sin? That ain't how it works. Let me just clear it up for you, for some of you still wondering or might be in that 56% that doesn't subscribe or subscribe to Jesus, maybe had some sin in his life. Pop up 1 Peter 2:22, will you, Christian? 1 Peter 2 22 is really pretty clear when he's speaking about Jesus. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. That's Jesus. And the Apostle Paul said similarly in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to become our sin. And yet, because of a pandemic, we went from 58% of said believers believe that he had no sin. We dropped to 44%. That's less than half of known and said believers in Jesus Christ. Less than half believed he was here without sin. And the Bible is crystal clear. He had no sin. What good would it do for somebody with a bunch of sin dying for my sin? Are you with me this morning, friends? We don't get to go to heaven on our terms. We don't get to pick and choose what I like and what I don't like. We don't get to subscribe to what I like and throw the rest out. And that's exactly what's happening. Let me share a little more from that article. I think you've got this one too, Kristen. Yeah, that's it. This is also same article. Fewer than half of born-again Christians also now believe they have a unique God-given calling or purpose. The share of those who held that belief fell from, look at that statistic, from 88% to 46% during the pandemic. 3 years. 88% used to think, 88% of the born-again believers at the beginning of the pandemic felt, as 1 Corinthians 12 said, we do have a God-given calling and purpose. You may not be a pastor, but he's gifted you with something. 88% said, we do have a God-given calling and purpose. At the beginning of the pandemic, and at the end, that gets cut in half. Now, I don't have no obligation to God. I don't have no God-given purpose. That's what the article said. It also said, those who say human life is sacred fell from 60 to 48%, and the number of born-again Christians who say God is the basis of all truth fell from 69 to 63% over the same period. The share of born-again believers who say they are deeply committed to practicing their religious faith fell from 85 to 50%, while the share of those who say they read or study the Bible at least once a week fell from 60 to 55%. All of this during 3 years of pandemic. Does that blow your mind? I look at that statistic, excuse me, the share of born-again believers. Again, I'm talking about this survey polled Christians. They ain't polling the world or people say I'm atheist. They ain't polling them. They're polling people who say I've been born of God. And look at this, the share of born-again believers who say they are deeply committed to practicing their religious faith fell from 85% to 50% during this time frame. Brothers and sisters, do you remember the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount? He said, you are the light of the world. Hello, are you still with me? Jesus said to his followers, you are the light of the world, and a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. And during this time frame, 85% of the people, 85% of Christians used to say, yes, I am committed to my faith in Christ. That dropped to 50% during this three-year time frame. I asked myself, what in the world has happened? And then I'm reminded of the verses of Amos chapter 4. I overthrew some of you as I overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. You were like a burning stick snatched from the fire, yet you have not returned to me. That's what he said to his people a long time ago. And I think he could be saying the same thing today. I ask myself, I read this article, this is only a month old. It ain't like it's a long time ago. This came out a month ago. And I ask myself, what changed among people who say they are followers of Jesus in this 3 years? Because I assure you, brothers and sisters, this didn't change. Amen? This didn't change. What changed? God gives us opportunities, and may I even say from time to time, difficulties in life, in an effort to bring us back as a nation to Him. He's done it before out of love. And He'll do it again, individually and as a nation. He will put things in our path that are painful, that we will turn to Him. And when He does, amazingly, the opposite happens. He shows us from Scripture, I did this, I did that, I did the other thing in an effort to bring you back to me, in an effort to get you dependent upon me, and yet you have not come back to me, declares the Lord. And I look at these kind of statistics and I see we're no different than they are. I'm not saying he sent COVID-19 or he didn't, but here was an opportunity for a worldwide disaster to cry out to God. And what do we read from the statistics? The opposite happened. 15 million are less in church today than they were 3 years ago in America. Less people today believe that Jesus lived a sinless life than did when it started. Less people read their Bible today than they did when it started. Less people are committed to following the Lord Jesus and living as the light and the salt of the world than they did when it started. Exactly the same thing happened as it did in Amos chapter 4. We have opportunities to call upon God. We have opportunities to surrender to Him, to be dependent upon Him, to cry out to Him in our anguish, and the opposite seems to have happened again. I ask myself, why would a pandemic change the minds of people? And then I wonder, do we think that we can pick and choose what parts of the Bible we're going to believe and what parts we're going to obey and the rest of it's irrelevant? That's doing things on our terms. Are you hearing me? That's doing things on our terms. Why would a pandemic... Why would a pandemic change the hearts of Christians to assume they have no God-given purpose? That they're no longer committed to practicing their faith or read the Bible less than we did 3 years ago? Why would that happen? I read Amos 4, and a lot of you know I've shared from Amos 4 before, but I read Amos 4 in all the Old Testament, really, and I see out of God's great love. I told somebody just the other day, when he was asking me about bad things happening, I said, out of God's great love, he don't want us to keep going to self-destruction like the path we're headed on. And out of his love, sometimes he will provide opportunities to turn back to him. Out of his love, and we have a choice. Are we going to depend upon him? Are we going to turn to him? Are we going to trust in him? Are we going to bail and say, if that's how he is, I don't need him? Because that's what they did, and if that's who we are, we didn't learn nothing from what the Old Testament said. I didn't learn nothing if I'm just going to blame God for this, that, or the other thing. And stop reading my Bible and stop living as salt and light. I didn't learn nothing from the Old Testament if that's how I live. These statistics are heartbreaking to me. I can't imagine the heart of God. I gave you empty stomachs in every city and lack of bread in every town, and yet you have not returned to me. The enemy of our souls, friends, better known as the devil, Satan, accuser of the brethren, the Bible calls him a lot of things, father of all lies, wants Christians to run from God when difficulties happen. That's what the enemy wants. And when we do, when God sends us these opportunities and we don't return to Him as He describes in Amos chapter 4, we're playing right into the enemy's hands. The devil wants people in church and out of church to be mad at God about this, that, or the other thing. That's what the devil wants. But it's at precisely those times when we hurt, when pandemics hit, and death and mayhem and madness and destruction hit in your life, it's precisely at those times we need to turn to the living God and depend upon Him. And as He said, I've given you these opportunities over and over and over, and yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. It's precisely at those times we need Him most. I need to wrap it up so we can honor our seniors. I read these statistics. I read that article, and I cannot understand for the life of me. I can't understand for the life of me. Why, after a 3-year pandemic, do people all of a sudden think Jesus was a sinner? I can't understand that for the life of me. Christians. I can't understand for the life of me why a pandemic would reshape Christians to thinking, I got no obligation to God. I don't understand why that would happen. It brings me back to that statement that I started with and shared with you some many weeks ago now. We don't get to go to heaven on our terms. And then that produces in me the next question, do we think that we can be part of heaven on our terms? Do I think that, well, I can, I kind of like this and I kind of like that, but I don't like this and I don't like that. Do we think that we don't have to live by this or go by this or trust this or depend upon this? That's our terms. We don't get to be part of heaven on our terms. We do on His terms. And so let me say this, and I'm going to close. We're going to watch a video for our seniors. I just want to encourage us, if you're listening today or if you're here today, we need to depend upon the Lord. When things in life are going good, when things in the nation are going lousy, we need to depend on the Lord. We need to trust Christ as Savior and Master and King and Lord. We need to repent of our thinking Jesus had sin in His life. We need to repent of our sin in the church that thinks we got no obligation to live for God. We need to repent of these things. We need to turn to the Lord and depend upon Him like never before. We don't get to be part of heaven on our terms, but on His terms. Jesus didn't die in vain. He died to rescue us. God doesn't send us pain because He's some cosmic killjoy trying to destroy all your fun and all your life. He'll send us pain sometimes because we aren't as a nation where we should be with Him. Don't let a pandemic change your thinking about the truth of Scripture. Don't let difficulties bring you to the point of saying, God, if that's how you are, I don't need you. Don't let that happen, because that's what the enemy wants to happen. Read the Word, friends. We're going to give some Bibles to our graduating seniors here, and I want to encourage you, read the Word, friends. Read the Word of God. The pandemic says The studies say that during the pandemic, less Christians now read the Word than they did 3 years ago. And that's only picking it up once a week. I maintain we should pick it up every day and read the book. How are we going to know the will of God if we don't know what's in the Word of God? And because of a pandemic, now there's less people reading it than they did 3 years ago.
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We lift our seniors up to you, Lord, a new stage in life, a new direction, end of one era and the beginning of another. And Lord, you should be in every part of it. Moving here today, forward tomorrow, and in the future, be in these kids' life, guide their thoughts, guide their direction, guide the will, their will for you, Lord, in everything they do. Be in a part of it all. Keep them strong. Keep them rooted in Scripture, rooted in faith, rooted in you, buried in their heart, everything their youth teachers have taught them, their pastors have taught them, their parents have taught them, to move forward from here, Lord, with boldness and just proclaim who you are in everything they're doing. Give them just direction. Give them comfort. Let them know they're loved by us and by you and everything they go for from here, Lord God. We so thank you for them, and we are so appreciated in everything you've done in their lives so far. And whatever you got planned for them in the future, we give you all the glory. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity to bless them with the Bible, to recognize them, a feat well done. Thank you, God. We love you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.